Good morning. My privilege and honor to be with you this morning and to lead you in worship. I can't tell you how much I enjoy doing this. I'm retired, refired, repositioned, whatever you want to call it. But if you invite me, I'll be there to preach. Okay. No, you don't need that. But happy Father's Day to the fathers here. And we're going to be focusing on that in our service this morning. Who we are as God's people and the name in which we gather to worship, that's how we want to make our beginning this morning. So we make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's rise as we go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, you promise when we two or three gather together in your name, more than two or three are here this morning, you promise to be with us. What does your presence mean? You've told us in your word, and we pray that your presence will accomplish what you say it does. Change our lives, empower us to live for you, and know that we are yours, not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus did for us. In your presence, help us to know that in a powerful and personal way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to remain standing. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning for our confession of sin, acknowledging before God that we don't measure up and we need his forgiveness. One of my favorite songs is what I am going to invite you to sing this morning. And when you plan the service, you get to do this, okay? This is a song called Search Me, O God. And here's how we're going to do it this morning. The first verse is kind of a confession. Search me, O God, know my heart today. We reveal to him who we are, and he knows us. And so in the first verse, we're going to sing and confess. Then in a moment of silence, we're going to take an opportunity to personally confess our sins in silence before him. And then for the assurance of our forgiveness, we're going to sing the last three verses, which tell us about what Jesus has done. So let's confess using the first verse. Now let's praise God for the full and free forgiveness that he gives us in Jesus.
Thank you. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. My name is Lars Vallon. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's, and it's my privilege to read the scriptures for you today. Our first reading is Psalms 128, verses 1 through 6. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lars. All right, kids, come on down. Got a message just for you. Where's all the kids? There they are. Good morning. Do you know what today is? Father's Day, that's right. And I've got some things in my pastor's bag. Now, some of those older people out there with no hair and gray hair, they remember when I used to have one of these. Anybody remember those days? Pastor's bag? So I got it out again, and I've got some things in here I want to talk with you about. And here's how you're going to have to help me, okay? We're going to talk about what God wants a father to be and the kind of father that you have in your home and what he does for you, okay? And all of the things that he does for you begin with the letter B, okay? So we're going to do a little cheer. Have you ever gone to a basketball game or something, football game, where the cheerleader says, give me a letter? And then what does everybody do?
Give that letter,
right? Okay, so we're going to try it. You ready? Give me a B.
B.
Oh, that wasn't very good. You can help out there, too. Okay. Give me a B.
B.
The first B is bread. How about that? Now, you know what bread means in the Bible? It means that everything we need for our life in this world is provided for us. Now, it comes from God, but our fathers provide us with all that we need. Now, think about it. Your fathers provide you with the clothes you wear, right? The house that you live in, the food that you eat, probably making sure that you go to school to learn. Right? And so a father gives us everything we need. And if you've got a father like that, you need to be really thankful and you need to thank him. Okay? Give me another B.
B.
B is for?
Basketball.
Well, ball. Okay, that's enough. Just ball. This happens to be a basketball, but there are other kinds of balls. Now, what does a ball remind us of? A father who plays with us. A father who maybe doesn't just play games with a ball, but might play other kinds of games. But the key thing is to have a father who's willing to spend time with you and to have fun with you. So the ball reminds us of a father who plays with us and gives us time and attention. If you've got a father like that, thank God and thank him, okay? Give me another B.
B.
And this B is?
Bible.
For Bible. Now, if you've got a father that reads the Bible to you, and maybe he uses a children's Bible, or if you've got a father that tells you about Jesus and how important it is to believe in him and what he did for us when he died on the cross, be thankful. Thank God and thank your dad. Can you remember that? So three B's this morning. Bread, a good father, and you need to thank God if you've got a good father to provide all that we need. Second B was?
Ball.
A father that gives you attention and time and plays with you. And above all, a father that tells you about Jesus and what he did for us when he died on the cross. If you've got a father like that, be thankful and thank your dad. Okay? Can you do that? Now, I know some of you are going to go straight to little worship, but if you don't go see your dad right now to tell him thank you, after you come back from little worship, make sure to tell him thank you for providing the three B's in your life. Okay? Can you do that? Let's pray for our dads. Fold your hands. And Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and for giving that love to us through our dads. Help them to always provide for us, play with us, and give us time. But above all, help them to always point us to Jesus and tell us about his love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you're going to little worship, the cross is right there in the middle aisle. And tell your dads thank you. I thought about doing the whole sermon with a cheerleading call, but I decided not to do that. Three B's for fathers. Now, there's much, much more to it than that. Here's one of the challenges on a day like Father's Day. If you focus on a narrow topic like that, there are many of you out there who aren't fathers, who don't have a father that's still living. We all had a father at some time. And there are those of you that, still are at that point as you're younger where, you aren't a father, but you might be in the future. So here is what I would invite you to do. Listen in this way. If you aren't a father, you know a father, or you know someone that's going to be a father. So as you hear what God would have a godly father do, be ready not only to grow in that if you're a father, but if you aren't a father, think about sharing that with someone who might be encouraged as a father. So that way we're all included and focused on what we can learn from God. I did a little research and looked it up online, which you can do now. You know how that all works. And got some information about fathers. Focus on the Family was one of the key places where I looked. I don't know, again, some of you out there who have been here at St. Mark's for a long time will remember that in the very early years when I first came to St. Mark's back in the 70s and early 80s, Focus on the Family had a series of films on family life. Anybody remember seeing those films? That was way back then, and the importance of family. And Dr. Dobson, at that point, was saying the family was under attack. Well, come up to 2023. The family is under a bigger attack now than it was back then. And one of the key elements, and it depends on who you listen to, but one of the key elements that you'll hear from people who know a lot more than me and maybe more than you is that a real breakdown in the family is the loss or the lack of fathers. So how important is it that God has designed the family, certainly with a mother and father, but the role of the father is what we want to focus on today. The challenge is greater every day. In your bulletin is an outline of the thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. And as you know, when I preach, it's a working sermon. So you have to get your Bibles out. The scriptures that are noted there in what we're going to share also list the pages where those scriptures are in the Bibles that are in the pews. So I really invite you to go with me to the scriptures, and let's let God speak to us this morning. The kind of the basis for our sermon goes back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 4. The page is there for you on the screen and also there in the bulletin. This is kind of, and I guess you could look at it in various ways, but I kind of look at this passage as kind of what a godly home would look like with a godly father in it. Okay? Now, that's not specifically what it is, but I think that application could be made. This is what a godly home will look like with a godly father in it. These are the words of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's only one true God. That's the whole point of that. That became what the Jews called the Shema, was taken from the word hear, which is what the Hebrew for hear is, Shema. And the Jewish nation would use that as the beginning of their worship because they lived in a land where there were all kinds of gods. We live in a land where there's all kinds of gods. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's only one. And then he goes on to say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So when should the love for God with all of our being be evident? Everywhere. That's really what he's talking about. Our homes should be permeated with the love of God. And a godly father can be a significant influence in that. If you have that kind of father, you had that kind of father and they're not here now, thank God. And know that this is what God wants a godly home to look like. My theme that I put together this morning is on the front of your bulletin, and the lifesaver is there. Godly fathers are lifesavers. And I'd like to just add to that. Godly fathers are lifesavers physically and spiritually. Godly fathers are lifesavers physically because they provide for their families and their needs that that family has to live in this world. But they are also lifesavers spiritually. Like the third B, they share what lasts for eternity, the love of Jesus. Now, why would we want a home like that? Why would we want to be godly fathers? Is it to get God to love us more? Is it to get God to love us for the first time? Is it so that we can please God so that he'll be good to us? That's not the motivation. The why for being a godly father, and this is really true for all of us who live as Christians, why do we want to live differently? Why do we want to be different? Why do we want to represent him well in the world? It's not to gain his favor. It's because we have it already. In 1 John chapter 4, turn to that with me, if you would. 1 John chapter 4. This is verses 9 and 10, and then we're going to shift over to verse 19. This is the why a person would want to be all God wants them to be. God is love. In this love of God, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, made known to us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Propitiation is a big word. It means so that the consequences of our sin are taken from us and put on Jesus. And then if you go over to verse 19, we love, we live as godly fathers, we live as followers of Jesus. Why? We love because he first loved us. That's the why. So if I come to God's word, and we have to be thankful that in the Lutheran church particularly, they are very sensitive to rightly dividing the law and the gospel. This is the gospel. This is what God did for us. God acts and we respond. God did this for us and we respond by living a life that he wants us to live, not to get his love, not to keep his love, but because we have all of his love already. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, is why we want to be all that God wants us to be. And that's true for fathers, and it's true for every one of us who follows Jesus. So I want to share with you a very specific focus on a godly father. And I have selected four key qualities of a godly father. Now, you could say, well, you already did that in the children's message. Well, I did. But I remember reading one time that somebody has to hear something seven times before it sinks in. So you might hear some similar things, okay? But these are just a little bit different than the three B's that I shared with the children. What's the first quality, key quality, of a godly father? He loves Jesus. Remember back there in the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and might? Jesus says that also. If you look at Mark 12, verse 30, Jesus is repeating what that Deuteronomy passage said. In Mark 12, verse 30, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." That's what God wants a godly father to be, someone who loves Jesus above all. A few years back, I said something in a sermon that I was called to task for as one of the persons left the service that day and greeted me at the door. I said in the service, "I love Jesus more than I love my wife." And she said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah. I love my Jesus more than I love my children, but I dearly love my children." A godly father loves Jesus with his whole being, heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's how they said it in the Old Testament. That's how Jesus repeated it. It means your whole being should exude Jesus as your number one love and the love that motivates your life. So a godly father loves Jesus above all. And when he puts his whole heart, soul, mind, and strength to loving Jesus, that means he will live for him and demonstrate to the extent that he can as a human being that love of Jesus. Now, we're never going to be perfect. There's no perfect person who lives in this world except Jesus, of course. We all fall short. But what's my goal? What's the quality I want to be growing in my life? I want to love Jesus above everything else. And I want that to be evident. So the key quality, number one, of a godly father is they love Jesus. Secondly, a godly father loves his wife. Now understand that I know that in this world, marriages are broken. Some of you have experienced that kind of thing. Those are things in your past. But if you're a father now and you have a mother or wife in your family, put this into practice. A godly father loves his wife. You know, when you go to these shops in places like Branson, where we spend a lot of time, you see these little slogans. If you go to Hobby Lobby, those kinds of things. One that I always remember, if you really want to love your children, love your children's mother. Love your wife. Here's how, again, God's word says it. If you go to Ephesians 5, verse 25, this is the Apostle Paul talking about marriage and what it ought to look like. And I just picked out one verse. It says, husbands, that would be fathers also, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The word for love there is a word in Scripture. The Greek is agape, and it's a love that is unselfish. It's a love that is sacrificial. It's a love that is more concerned about the other person than about themselves. That's the way God wants us to love our wives as godly fathers. And it really is true. Children see that. Children learn about that sacrificial, unconditional, unselfish love that a father can show to his wife. And that then impacts the children. Second quality of a godly father is that they love their wife. The third quality that's kind of obvious is that a godly father loves his children. It's amazing to me how many times in recent years I've had parents, grandparents come up to me and say, my children or my grandchildren aren't walking with the Lord anymore. And how that hurts their heart. You can't live their lives for them, but you can keep on loving them. Here's how the psalmist actually talks about the importance of loving your children. If you look at Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, this is the psalmist talking about this. If you remember, what Lars read for us was Psalm 128, which is often referred to as the family psalm, if you will. Well, these are the verses just before that where Psalm 127 talks about the gift of children in our lives. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Children are a gift from God. Now, if you'll notice in the outline, I added something to the end of that keynote. A godly father loves his children, pre-born and living. I have worked in the life ministry for years. When I was here at St. Mark's, I was on the board at Birthright. When we went to Branson to plant the church, Jan and I served on the board for Options Pregnancy Clinic. I am also the chairman of the Alliance for Life for Missouri, and they oversee all the pro-life ministries in Missouri. And our legislature, we are blessed to have a legislature that supports pro-life ministries. And the Alliance for Life that I'm the chairman of distributes money to health and life ministries that can assist those who come for help. What's the role of the father of a woman who is struggling with a pregnancy? We have found, as I have worked in that area and as I've talked with workers who work on the day-to-day, one-on-one kind of activity, fathers are a key to the decision about abortion. A key. If life in the womb is valuable, and abortion is contrary to God's plan for that living yet pre-born human being, fathers have a big role in the decision to keep that baby or to have an abortion. I don't know what the percentages are, but I would guess that in the lives of women, 75% who get an abortion are encouraged to do that and pushed to do that by the man who got them pregnant. A godly father loves his children and is not just a fertility provider, but needs to see them as a gift from God. Love your children, pre-born and living. They are gifts from God. I learned many years ago that the key to children walking in faith is this. Most children who are walking in faith have learned the personalness of that Christian faith primarily from their mother. Let me say that again. Have learned the personalness of the Christian faith primarily from the mother. And they have learned the practice of their faith primarily from their father. And so the next quality really speaks to that. A quality of a godly father is that he's a man of integrity. Now, what's that mean? It means you don't say one thing and do another. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about that. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, where Paul is continuing to talk about the Christian marriage and family. He goes on into the role of children and parents. But he says to fathers in verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." In your Bibles, I think they are NIV in the pews. That happens to be the New English Bible that I just read. It says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. So I asked Siri this morning to make sure I knew what I was talking about. And I said, what is exasperate? Siri comes back, frustrating completely. Fathers, do not frustrate completely your children. Now, what's that look like? It might be something simple like, we don't put our feet on the coffee table. Dad comes in, sits down, puts his feet on the coffee table. That's exasperating. Like what, that word, huh? That's exasperating. But it's more important in areas like, a Christian would not do this, and you teach that to your children, and then they see you doing it. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Be men of integrity. Model for them what you want them to be. You can't say, do as I say and not as I do It doesn't work. I wish I had all those qualities in a perfect way. Because I care about my children. Now my grandchildren. And by the way, in July, my great-grandchild. But I know that this is what God wants. This is what God wants for you as fathers. This is what God wants for every father. And you have an opportunity, whether you are a father today or whether you know a father, to be an instrument to encourage fathers to be what God wants them to be. Not to get his love, not to keep his love, but because we have all of his love already. Some of you have heard me tell this story before. I hope I can get it out. We have one daughter. She's here this morning. So I'll make it even harder. Before her wedding, God woke me up in the middle of the night. Never done that before. And he gave me the scripture to use at her wedding. And I want to conclude this morning with that scripture. And I want to look at it as the ultimate goal has for godly fathers. Now, this is 3 John chapter 4. Now, that'll give you a little idea about this had to be God, because I wouldn't even have known what 3 John was. But this is the ultimate goal of every godly father. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than knowing my children are walking in the truth. How will that happen? When a godly father loves Jesus above all, loves his wife like Jesus loves us, loves his children, and lives as a man of integrity. How important is it that our children walk in the truth? In this woke world, and I was challenged by someone when I said this before, and maybe you want to challenge me after the service. Everything that's going on in our woke world is in one way or another an attack on Christianity and the truth of the Bible. What's the ultimate goal of a godly father? I have no greater joy than to know my children are walking in the truth, and this is the truth. I want this to be encouraging. You've heard me say this before, but perhaps this morning, even more so, I write sermons for me and hope that others get the benefit. I hope that happens this morning. A godly father is a life saver, physically and spiritually. After the service, our life team is going to give out little gifts to the fathers that are here this morning. But as the supply lasts, I'd like to encourage you, if you know some father that you'd like to take one to, that you maybe also take one to them who aren't here this morning as a father. It says on that little card, godly fathers are lifesavers. And it has a lifesaver staple to it. Leslie did a great job on the bulletin cover. She sent it to me, said, will this work? I said, absolutely. Godly fathers are lifesavers. Would you pray with me about that? Heavenly Father, whenever we hear your word, We love to hear the good news that you love us, that you forgive us, that when we fall short, we can run to you and know that we will be received in your love and grace. We know that you love us, and we know that you have a plan for our lives and that you want us to be all that you want us to be. Use what we have shared this morning to make us more like you want us to be. Enable us as fathers to receive that truth and by the power of your Spirit have it put to work in our lives. Enable those who aren't fathers to think about that person in their life that they could maybe use these words as encouragement for them in their role as a father. All for your glory. And we ask it in the powerful name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. We want to respond in our worship also as part of our worship with our tithes and our offerings. That's a regular part of our worship, and we invite you to participate in that. Also, while the offering is being gathered, fill out the worship registration. It's St. Mark's way of knowing your presence here and being able to minister to you in a more personal way. And then join the music team as they lead us in singing also. what we believe is expressed in what we call creeds. This morning we want to use the words of the Apostles' Creed as we profess our faith. I'm going to face you as we make that confession. Normally we do it this way. I couldn't face the music team and that would work also. But it's not only what we believe and say it to God, it's what we say to each other. Let's rise and profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, I don't like to have you up and down a lot, but I'm going to ask you to be seated as we see the video on fathers. Wow, that kind of said it in a simple way, didn't it? Didn't quite have the third B in there as much, but we can add that, right? Tell them about Jesus and what he did for us, recorded in the Bible. I'm going to ask you to remain seated for our prayers this morning. Something that I did many years ago when I was a part of this congregation in a more ongoing kind of way. I suggested that if you're sitting next to someone that you're comfortable to take their hand while we pray, that would kind of symbolize our unity in prayer. So if you're sitting next to someone that you're comfortable to take their hand, please do that as we pray. And in our special prayers, we want to remember our mission team in Arizona with the youth and the way that they are serving the Lord there. And for those that are fathers, we want to thank God for you this morning. And perhaps you can think about your father or a father in your relationship as we thank God for fathers. After the special prayer, let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, undeserving to be numbered among them. But you did it for us when you sent Jesus. Help us to appreciate that and to thank you, our Heavenly Father, for that great gift of Jesus. Help us to love him with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind, whether we're fathers or just followers of Jesus. We pray for our mission team in Arizona, for the ministry that they are carrying out, that it will be instruments of love that can point people to Jesus. Grant them safe travels and continue to bless their service to you and to people. We also pray for those who are fathers among us. A daunting task in many ways, great responsibility, great opportunity. Give them what they need to be the godly fathers that you want them to be. We ask you to bless their love and ministry for their Savior, for their wife, and for their children. We also pray for those who are hurting, in need of physical, emotional, or maybe even spiritual healing. As we name people in our hearts now that we know who have those needs, hear our prayer for them and meet the needs that they have out of your great love. Hear our prayers spoken and held before you in our hearts. As in the unity of prayer our hands symbolize, we bring them to you in the powerful name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, who has also taught us to pray his prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord's Supper is a place where we are strengthened in our faith, but also strengthened in our ability to live the way He wants us to live. And particularly this morning, we are empowered to live as godly fathers and to live as lifesavers. Think about that as you partake of the body and blood of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus that He used on the night He gave us this supper. They are the words that give this meal its powerful blessing among us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in memory of me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. When He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in memory of me." The peace and the power of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Allow us to commune those who will be assisting us during the distribution, and after they have commune, we invite you to the Lord's table to partake of this powerful meal for life now and life eternally.
So I'll run to the Father again and again. before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in.
Now may this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you to live for him now and keep you in faith for life eternal. Depart in peace and with the joy of the Lord. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May God be above you to bless you, within you to sanctify you, around you to protect you, and before you to guide you. And may God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you always. Amen. Let's rise for our closing hymn. Wow. Quick announcements. Gift for fathers. As you go out, make sure you grab one. Sandra's going to need some help loading the food for the food pantry, so if anybody wants to help with that, out in the entranceway. And the summer Bible reading challenge, Lauren has information for that if you'd like to sign up for that, and she can tell you more about it. She'll be at one of the tables out in the entranceway. Happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers. Tell someone else about it and tell them that God wants them to be a lifesaver. Pick up your gift and I'll greet you at the door.